welcome to Tuned to Yesterday, bringing you programs from radio's golden age. I'm your host, Mark Levionier, delivering an hour of radio westerns. Later on, it's Fort Laramie from 1956, but right now, juvenile western adventure with a Cisco Kid. Jack Mather stars in this late 1940s broadcast, released by the Mutual Broadcasting System, called the Lincoln County Raid.
Amigos, this is the Cisco Kid.
The Cisco Kid comes to you through the facilities of the United States Armed Forces Radio and Television Service.
Indicates the word is wasted on you, and you are all fools.
All right, hear him. Hear him out, boys. Listen to Warren Townsend.
You men will be well paid for performing a task to which you are all accustomed. Your low-slung gun belts and notched guns verify my words. Now, your greatest reward will be forthcoming when we have accomplished one task. Complete destruction and annihilation of every cattleman in Lincoln County. Their property will be yours. You will be the landed gentry. Now, I repeat again. Good day, gentlemen.
Good day.
Memento, Sr. Townsend. I would like to ask you a question.
See, we got the question we want to ask.
I thought you told me these were the toughest men in Texas, Judd. That fat one looks like a clown from a circus.
And you look like you should belong in a cemetery.
Pancho, another crack like that and you'll be in a cemetery. I never hired you two hombres. What are you doing here?
I heard someone was hiring the fastest gunman in Texas. I was interested to know why and to know who he is.
You better be as fast on the draw as you are with the questions, Tinhorn. Slap me! My hand!
Like you say, hombre, as fast on the draw as with the questions.
Fired! Fire down, man! That was a fast draw and fine shooting, Caballero. Don't ever make me have to prove to you I can do better. I can. Now, as far as I'm concerned, you're one of us. What name do you choose to call yourself?
I'm called the Cisco Kid, Señor Townsend. This hombre is mi good compañero, Pancho.
Cisco Kid?
Yeah, Pancho and Cisco, the good compañero.
Where Cisco rides, there also rides Pancho, eh? Very well. Your compañero goes with us.
You're making a mistake, Warren. I heard of this Cisco Kid before. He's got a long nose. He's a troublemaker. Ask any of these hombres here.
I'm asking you, Cisco. What kind of a hand are you playing?
That depends, senor, on how you intend to use this army of desperados.
What'd I tell you, Warren? He's a nosy jayhawk.
Quiet, Judd. Quiet, man! Cisco, the cattlemen in Lincoln County are attempting to drive out the homesteaders with fire and gunpowder.
And you intend to fight fire, and with gunpowder, Sir Townsend.
Only if necessary. My hope is the reputation of men like yourself and these other men will be enough to stop the bloodshed the cattlemen started.
You mean what you say, senor? I am with you.
And if it's not the truth, you find out Cisco know how to fight against you?
If you ride as one of us, Cisco, you're welcome. But make no mistake. If you attempt to cross me, there are 50 hombres behind you ready to kill you.
You bet your life they will.
But they won't have to. I'll do it myself.
Faster, Blake!
Now!
Hurry, Bull! Hurry! I'll cover you!
Take that! Your gunfire stopped!
coyotes. Maybe I can get just one of them. They're out of range.
I'll save the bullets, Dad. The damage is already done.
Well, what do you mean, Buck?
The herd up in Dry Canyon was rustled. Two of our punchers are dead. Those Ranahans took out after me when I spotted them.
Two more of our boys and more of our cattle gone. There's no way out of it, Buck. We've got to hire gunslingers like the ones Warren Townsend brought up from Texas.
I've been against it, Dad, but I reckon I'm wrong. Our boys are no match against them killers.
Hey, Buck, two of them, riding this way now. As soon as I take aim with this rifle, there'll be two less varmints in Lincoln County.
Hold it, Dad. They're both riding in with their hands away from their gun belts. Let's see what they want.
Who there, Lou?
Who?
Buenos dias, senores.
What is this? Gracias for not shooting us when we ride off.
You are Senor Brewster, and you are Senor Brewster.
That's right. I'm Buck Brewster, Jr. This is my dad, Buck Brewster, Sr.
And I, Pancho, Jr., and Pancho, Sr. Pancho, glad to meet you, Senor Jr. and Senor Sr.
Enough, Pancho. You're not here on a laughing matter.
Who are you, hombre?
And the Cisco kids talk to you about this range war.
You're riding with Townsend and his pack of wolves. Only language your kind understands is six-gun talk.
Pull in that six-horse temper of yours, Buck. You're the Cisco kid, huh? Where you from?
The territory of Arizona.
But them gunslingers of Townsend are from Texas. How come you're with them?
Pancho and I were riding through the Texas Panhandle when we heard Townsend's offer of top pay for gunmen.
And you joined them, huh?
See, we joined them, but we not really joined with them.
When Townsend rounded up the worst desperados in the state of Texas, I suspected it was for no good purpose. His straightforward talk convinced me I might be wrong.
And to commit you, I will take that rifle, senor. He's got the rifle. Get him, Buck.
Do not move, senor Buck.
Oh, not make a move. Pancho got you covered, too.
You rotten, skulking sidewinders. I should have gunned you down soon as I said to you.
We ain't gonna stand here and let you kill us, Cisco. You got the drop on us. All right. I'm going for my sixth gun.
Hold it.
I have no intention of shooting anyone. Here is your rifle, Senor Brewster.
What in tarnation? You done right, Cisco. You could have killed us just then. You proved what I heard about the Cisco kid is true.
Well, if you hear that Cisco and Pancho on the side of the law, then you hear the truth.
When I saw what was going on in Lincoln County, I knew Townsend was lying. He is not trying to settle the war between the homesteaders and the cattlemen.
You bet he ain't. Him with all his fancy talk on the side of the homesteaders. He just took advantage of the situation between them nesters and us cattlemen.
The only way we can stop him is to fight him with his own weapons. Our cowpokes ain't no match for his gunmen. We gotta bring in a bunch of desperados, too. And with you to lead them, Cisco.
No, Senor Brewster. With those methods, you cattlemen will destroy yourselves as well as the homesteaders. The gunslingers you hire will not stop killing because you stop paying them. They will turn against you and destroy you.
Well, how do you figure we ought to fight that mob of killers Townsend brought up here, Cisco?
Since Townsend has set himself up as the law in this country, you and all the other ranchers must form as a group of vigilantes.
We ain't got the time for nothing but to get into the ranch house and barricade ourselves. Here comes Townsend, Judd Heston, and that gang of hired killers.
We have time to do that if it is necessary, Senor Brewster. Drop a shot in front of those riders. Well, never mind. They look like they're going to stop anyhow.
It's far up, man. Hold! Wait here, boys.
When one of my riders goes on his own to talk to one of my enemies, I want to know why, Cisco.
Why waste time with him, Warren? He's here, ain't he? It means he's with him.
I'm still running the show, Judd. I'll handle this.
You wart-faced toad, Townsend. I'll never get a better chance to put a bullet through your skull than I got right now.
Wait, Dad. Let Cisco run this show. What do you want, Townsend?
Cisco, I've got plans for Lincoln County. Those plans include you.
I am curious, Townsend. Why an hombre like you, with so many gunmen at his beck and call, is concerned over one hombre like me?
Now, those hirelings back there are only good for the fighting to be done. When it's over, the men I can depend on won't be the ones I can buy.
Well, you got to be out of your head to think Cisco joined with you to kill people.
Come on, Judd. I've given you straight talk, Cisco, no subterfuge. I'll give you 5 minutes to join me.
Yeah, it's a waste of time, Warren.
You have 5 minutes to decide, Cisco. Ride out, join me, and you'll have the kind of power a man like you should know how to use. Stay here with the Brewsters and die with them. Get up.
Get up. Time, Warren. Cisco ain't riding out here. Besides, what do you need him for?
You don't understand, Judd. For certain things I could never find a better segundo than you. But when we hold the power here, we'll have to deal with other counties in this territory. We'll need a man of diplomacy, honesty, and action. Cisco's reputation, his manner of handling people...
All right, Warren, I see what you mean. But Cisco ain't joining us. The 5 minutes are up, ain't they? What you gonna do?
The 5 minutes will be up in 5 seconds. All right, Judd. Light those torches. Set this buffalo grass afire. Burn this ranch to the ground.
All right, boys. Light up them torches and set fire to this buffalo grass. We're going to burn every building to the ground. If Cisco, Pancho, or the two Brewsters make a break from that ranch house, cut them down.
Cisco, through this window. Those coyotes not going to rush us.
Thunder, you're right, Pancho. They're going to burn us out. We better make a break for our horses.
No, Dad, we won't have a chance. They'll gun us down as soon as we step outside.
You all right, Senor Buck?
Oh, Cisco, that one hombre with a lighted torch, he's going to set fire to the grass.
Your rifle, Senor Brewster. Andale, give me your rifle.
Here you are, Cisco. Oh,
what you do, Cisco?
Think carefully and...
Galloping ghost, a bullet knocked the torch clean out of that hombre's hand.
Sage, General Custer, I ain't seen such shooting since I rode with him in the old 7th Cavalry.
They've stopped the palaver.
See, they're afraid of Cisco. They know he could kill him instead of shooting the torch out of their hand.
I reckon none of them cold-footed coyotes care to be the next one to take the chance.
Judd Heston's going to make the run. He's lighting up a torch.
For Judd Heston, there is a special treatment.
Bueno, Cisco, you knocked the torch out of the hand of that Heston, Mallory.
Howling hurricane, you knocked Judd's hat off his head.
And that will help him change his mind.
It sure made him change the course as cayuse was going.
You're stirring up as much commotion as a hornet's nest out there, Cisco. But it ain't gonna save us.
Luck is with us, Senor Buck. We have a chance. Look at the blades on your windmill.
Pancho not see nothing special. The wind blowing made the windmill turn.
You bet it is, but look at the direction. The wind's changed.
See, we can use the methods of those killers against them. If you do not mind losing some pasture land, Senor Buck.
That grass will have another chance to grow, but we won't have another chance to live. I'm riding stirrup to stirrup with you, Cisco. There's a barrel of cool oil in the kitchen.
Bueno. Pancho, you and Senor Brewster get some rags and soak them in that coal oil.
See, but why we do that?
We're going to set fire to the grass, Pancho. The wind will carry that fire smack into them lily-livered hyenas.
That is what we hope for, Senor Brewster. There is no time to lose. Andale, we may beat those pack rats yet, if we get out of here alive.
Well, it's worse than we thought, Warren.
When you come into this house, close the door quietly, Judd.
Listen, Warren, I've been to town
when
and
you walk into this house, Judd, close the door quietly. Now go back and do it.
I tell you,
we... The door, Judd. Quietly. That's better, Judd. Now, what's worse than we thought?
Them vigilantes. Cisco's got them organized. Every time our boys go out on a raid, them vigilantes come out of nowhere to stop them. He's beat you every time you locked horns, Warren.
I've given you too much authority, Judd. It's gone to your head. Next, you'll be wanting to give me orders.
It ain't a bad idea. I told you to kill the Cisco kid when you had your hands on him.
You think with a gun instead of a brain, Judd. That's why you'll never live to give me orders.
All right, big brain. How are you going to outfox the Cisco kid now?
First, by putting my house in order.
What do you mean by that?
When a dog snaps at the hand that feeds him,
he deserves a beating. Remind him, he's still a dog and not the master.
Judd, if you go for your gun, I'll kill you.
All right, Warren. I reckon you can beat me the draw.
You know I can. You're no use to me, Judd, unless you can take orders and carry them out.
Well, you're the boss.
I'd better be, or you'll be dead. Now that my house is in order, our next piece of business is the vigilantes and the Cisco kid.
What are you going to do about them?
Let them think they've beaten us. Spread the word we're willing to call a truce, to talk things over. Invite every cattleman, dirt farmer, nester in Lincoln County.
Then what?
Then, leave everything to me. That will be the final assembly for those vigilante cattlemen. In one raid, we'll wipe them all out.
And I agree with the other cattlemen, Cisco. We can't take Townsend's word about a truce.
I'll simmer down, Dad.
Simmer down, all of you. Now, listen. We followed Cisco and haven't gone wrong so far, have we? All right. Then if you turn a deaf ear to him now, you're asking to lose your ranch.
That's it, Senor Buck, for what you are trying to do. You, senores, must realize that the open range is a thing of the past. The cattlemen and the homesteaders must learn to live together in peace.
Oh, now don't get mad at Cisco for telling the truth. You all know what happened as a result of the Rogue River Range War.
Seeing the same thing happen here in Lincoln County if you're not listening to Cisco.
How do we know we're not riding into a dry gulch when we meet with the nesters?
Pancho can answer that for you. Tell them what you saw in Cow Creek Canyon, Pancho.
Well, Pancho keep a watch on Townsend like Cisco tell Pancho to do. And Pancho follow Townsend and Aunt Coyote, Jed Heston. And Pancho see them pay off all those killers and send them back to Texas.
Oh, now, un momento, señores, un momento. We all know that could be another scheme to trap us. Therefore, the truce meeting will be held here at Buck Brewster's Rancho. Sentries and outposts will be stationed.
If Townsend, his gunslingers, and the nesters try to raid us, their blood will turn the green grass of this valley to red.
All right. Hear me, boys. By this time, the cattlemen have learned from the Cisco Kid's partner that you were supposedly paid off and sent back to Texas.
Pancho followed us, Warren, just like you figured he would. We doubled back after he left the trail.
Yeah, it's a job well done, Judd. The cattlemen and the homesteaders are meeting now at the Brewster Ranch.
You said they posted guards, Warren. They'll be ready when we go to raid them.
Now, that's where I intend to use the nesters. As soon as the meeting gets started, you and the boys attack the sentries.
And while the nesters keep the cattlemen busy, we get through the guards into the ranch house.
That's right, Judd. And remember what I told you. You wait until the nesters and I are clear of the ranch house. Then you kill every last one of those vigilante cattlemen. I myself will get the Cisco Kid.
Any other orders, Warren?
No. See that you carry these out, Judd. If you fail me this time, I won't give you another chance. Get up.
That's what you think, Mr. Townsend. All right, boys. Ready to ride. We're going to make this raid, but we're going to do it my way. We don't need them nesters any more than we need them cattlemen. And we don't need Warren Townsend. Everything of value in Lincoln County belongs to the hombres strong enough to take it. And that's us. Follow me and wipe them all out. To the last man.
signals from our guards. We've been double-crossed. This meeting with Townsend is a trap. Come on, you cattlemen. Unlimber your guns.
Dad, you cattlemen, wait a minute.
Listen to Senor Buck. Or you will undo whatever good has been done.
It's a trap, all right, you homesteaders. The Cisco Kid and these cattlemen intend to murder us. Take cover. Open fire on them.
Madre mia, Cisco. If they listen to the Townsend, lots of hombres on both sides be killed.
Get away. It is a trap. Unless we fight together, we will all be murdered. This is your last double dealing, Townsend.
I told you I'd have to kill you someday, Cisco, and this is it.
Bueno, Cisco, you shoot the gun out of that Maverick's hand.
I'm more than a match for you, Cisco. Guns off, fist.
That remains to be seen. It will be seen sooner than you think.
All right.
None of you nesters make a move, or we'll blast you out of your boots. Keep them covered, boys.
No, Senor Brewster. You need these homesteaders as much as they need you. Pancho, will you and Senor Brewster guard Townsend?
Si, Cisco.
I only wish he makes a try to skedaddle.
Cisco's right, boys. See for yourselves.
Madre mia, those Texas gunslingers.
And there's Judd Heston leading them.
Do you homesteaders or cattlemen need any more proof? Take cover and fight off those killers while you still have a chance.
Come on, Cisco. We can take cover behind the water trough.
Your Buck. We already have those gunslingers whipped, though they do not know it yet.
I wish I was as sure about that as you are, Cisco.
When those pack rats see the cattlemen and homesteaders fighting side by side instead of against each other, they will turn and run.
I only hope you're right.
Tell the homesteaders and cattlemen to open fire right now.
Now, boys, open fire on those Texas killers. Come on, give them a real link and how they welcome.
Did I tell you, Sailor Buck?
They're turning tail and running like scared rabbits. And from the way they're going, I don't think they'll stop running till they get back to Texas.
We will stop them, Senor Buck. Every last one of them must be corralled and made to pay for his crimes. As a warning to all bandidos, there must never be another Lincoln County raid. Pancho.
Oh, every single one of those gunslingers, they get a long sentence in the jail.
See, they deserve it. As did Judd Heston and Warren Townsend.
See.
You know, the next time we ride over this hill and into Lincoln County, I am sure we will find the cattlemen and the homesteaders living together peacefully.
See, that we do. The next time we ride over the hills... Cisco, while we talk about this hill, Pancho would like to ask you a question.
Si, Chico. What is the question?
Cisco, tell Pancho, what the difference between a hill and a pill?
Well, Pancho, there is a lot of difference. How can you compare them when they are so different?
Pancho, like for Cisco to stick to the question, what the difference between a hill and a pill?
Well, then I must admit I do not know. What is the difference between a hill and a pill?
The one is hard to get up, the other is hard to get down.
Oh, Pancho!
Oh, Cisco!
The Cisco Kid. On Tuned to Yesterday, Jack Mather starred in that late 1940s broadcast released by the Mutual Broadcasting System and later transmitted via Armed Forces Radio. You're listening to an hour of Westerns on Tuned to Yesterday. I'm your host, Mark Levonier. Coming up next, an episode of Fort Laramie from the CBS Radio Network from July 29th, 1956. A passing glance at any moment in this episode might have the listener believe that they were hearing an episode of Gunsmoke with the actors that also played parts on that series, like Virginia Gregg, Parley Bear, and Howard McNear. Raymond Burr was never, in fact, on Gunsmoke in all of his radio career, but the Columbia Broadcasting System, when they were putting Gunsmoke together, did want a big name for the part of Matt Dillon that ended up going to William Conrad. Raymond Burr was among many actors considered for the job. One of the producers of the show, Guy Della Ciappa, recalls that, quote, "We were looking for somebody that sounded like Orson Welles, a totally different voice and not a Western drawler." With those qualities, Raymond Burr found success on Fort Laramie. It was even during his time with the series that he landed the part of television's Perry Mason. This episode next called Nature Boy.
Fort Laramie. Fort Laramie, starring Raymond Burr as Captain Lee Quince. Specially transcribed tales of the dark and tragic ground of the wild frontier. The saga of fighting men who rode the rim of empire. And the dramatic story of Lee Quince, Captain of Cavalry.
Might as well stay mounted, Sergeant. Looks like their stage is ready.
Yes, sir.
I'll talk to the agent. Morning, Mr. Church.
Morning to you, Captain. Did you come for them?
My orders say to meet Mr. and Mrs. Horace Quiring at the Red Cloud Agency and escort them to Fort Laramie.
Good.
That their stage outside?
It is. Did you hear me say good?
I heard you.
Good. That's good for their leaving and good for good riddance, too.
Bureau of Indian Affairs bothering you, Mr. Church?
Bothering's a small word, Captain. I won't try to spell it all out for you. You wouldn't believe me if I did. Suffice it to say, I am played out.
Well, if they're ready...
The Indians are played out, too.
What's the matter with them?
You don't know these folks at all?
No. The major says Mr. Quiring has something to do with the Bureau of Indian Affairs.
Basket weaving, dancing, lore and culture studies, fire making, Indian mythology... Oh, I tell you, Captain, we've had a busy couple of weeks.
Well, if he wants to learn about the Indians, he'd...
Captain, he's been teaching.
He's been teaching the Indians how to make baskets?
That's the least of it. Him and his missus, too, touched up a few of the tribal dances. And that Gussie, she... Oh, say, your orders don't mention Gussie?
Gussie?
She's their niece. A great hand to go around and make fires, rubbing a couple of dry sticks together.
Showed the Indians how, did she?
Oh, they was amazed. Oh, you wouldn't leave Gussie here. Well, I mean, seeing her name ain't set down in your orders. Oh, you wouldn't do a trick like that to me, Captain.
I'll take them all.
Oh, good. Of course, that poses a problem, too.
How's that?
You gotta find them first.
They lost?
Always. Let's go, Captain. Can you see them yet?
I make out three heads up at the top of the rocks. Guess they're heads.
That's the quarry. From a distance, there's always some question. Then you get close up and... Oh, I've got to rest. Oh, dear. Getting lightheaded.
I don't see how they got up that high. Especially the women.
No, you don't. You've got to catch them in the act to believe it. And then you'd swear you hadn't seen it. Oh, active. Mighty active.
Well, I'll go up and get them. Can't keep the patrol sitting around all morning.
I figure they're your responsibility now, Captain. I've done all I can do. And then some.
And we'll pick you up on our way down.
All right.
Hmm. Mr. Quiring.
Hush.
I never hoped for this. Truly, a Lagopus mutus.
What's your Latin, Gussie? Lagopus leucor.
Strictly speaking, of course, it's a rupestris. But you can't blame the girls for being carried away.
You talking about that bird there on the ledge?
I know you're going to tell me it's a white-tailed ptarmigan. But in bird circles, it's a...
It's a grouse.
Well, yes, if you want to be blunt, it's a grouse.
Horace?
Right here, Winifred.
Only in the broadest sense is the ptarmigan a grouse. A kin, I'll give you. Nothing more.
Remember, Uncle Horace? Aunt Winifred's last paper before the Ornithological Society definitely established the ptarmigan as a gallinaceous bird akin to the grouse.
Oh, you see, young man, you want to have your facts well in hand before you take on the choiring girls. Also, by the way, who are you?
I'm Captain Quince. I'm in charge of your cavalry escort to Fort Laramie.
Oh, yes, indeed, of course. Well, now, I'm Horace Quiring. Oh, and this is my wife, Winifred, and my niece, Augusta. We call her Gussie. Girls, Captain Quince.
Ma'am? Miss?
Shake hands, Captain.
Yes, ma'am.
My goodness, Quince.
She's speaking of the Australian black ash.
Oh?
Indeed, I'm not, Uncle Horace. We studied the quince at the seminary. I'm thinking more in terms of the pear-shaped fruit of the Pyrus sedum.
Good, he has you there, Horace.
Oh, yeah. I warn you, Captain, they keep a man on his pace. Well, shall we make our descent?
Yes, I kind of think we better.
Maybe it's a little early for him to have breakfast, Lee.
For the Quirings? They probably struck out before dawn and roasted a buffalo on an open fire. A fire Gussie made rubbing two dry sticks together.
I know you don't like your assignment, Lee, but there's no cause to exaggerate.
I thought the Indian agent was exaggerating, too.
They seem like perfectly nice people to me. A pleasant, close-knit family.
You spent 5 minutes with them. Never got past how to do.
Now, Mrs. Daggett was leaving on the stage. I explained that.
That's all right. Maybe it's better you find out for yourself. The Indian agent says they know more about Indians than the Indians do. They might start telling us how to run the guard mount.
I wish they'd come. I'm starved.
Maybe they're lost.
Oh, that's ridiculous.
The Indian agent says they're always lost. You see, they go climbing around a lot, looking for birds and things.
Well, they're not lost this time. Here's Mr. Quiring.
Well, my goodness. Oh, don't you bother getting up for me, Major. And Captain.
Morning, Mr. Quiring.
Morning, sir.
Oh, isn't it? Oh.
Sit down, Mr. Quiring.
Thank you. All right. Well, now, how nice. So this is the officer's mess, is it?
That's right. Would you like some coffee while we're waiting?
Oh, I'd love some coffee. Nothing like a good cup of coffee to... waiting.
For the ladies.
And the ladies?
For Mrs. Quiring, Miss Gussie.
Oh, the girls. See, where are they?
Well, I just supposed you'd all be together.
We were. Yeah, but that was at breakfast. I haven't seen the girls since breakfast. A little raspy in the throat, are we, Captain?
No, I sort of choked.
Oh, you want to watch that? That's bad business.
You've had breakfast, Mr. Quiring?
My goodness, yes. Why, it's after 7, Major. Oh, it was a good breakfast, too. It was outdoors, you know, open fire. All the sounds of the aurora as the sun came up and shone with its full glory.
Say, an open fire, Mr. Quiring?
Gussie insists on an open fire. Ever since she learned how to... Well, the things young ladies learn in seminaries these days is... My, just open your eyes and...
Mind telling us what you had for breakfast?
Not at all. Glad to. Winifred's department, you know, the food. She made the boast. But to tell you the truth, I never thought she'd bag it. Well, sir, she wasn't up in that canyon 5 minutes until... Bang, bang! Oh, I'm sorry. I hope I didn't frighten you, Major.
No. I'm all right.
Bang, bang. What, Mr. Quire?
Breakfast. Yes, breakfast.
It wasn't a buffalo by any chance.
Oh, no. A buffalo. I don't believe Winifred could have bagged a buffalo. No, it wasn't a buffalo.
No, I didn't think it would be.
No, it was an antelope. See, that is a bad throat you've got there, Captain.
It gets it comes from exaggerating things. Wouldn't you say, Major?
I've got some business to attend to. Better get over to headquarters.
But you haven't had your breakfast, Major.
Well, I'm not hungry.
Oh, no. I'll bet Winifred could tempt you with some of that antelope. Oh, my. Delicate, succulent. I hope their foray into the woods was successful. I couldn't go with them. You see, I was most anxious.
What? Foray into what woods, Mr. Quine?
What woods? Now, wait just... Let me get my bearings. Now, which way is Noah?
That way.
That, oh, that's splendid. Yes, that's it. There are some woods to the north, and last time I saw the girls, they were...
Captain Quince, you're to form a search party immediately. Take what men you need.
Search party? Why?
The land to the north is Indian country, Mr. Quine.
Well, of course, that's why they went, but... Oh, my goodness, a search. You speak as if the girls are lost.
We're speaking as if they're in danger, Mr. Quiring. Those woods are full of Arapaho, Shoshone, Crow.
Oh, I don't think they'll bother the girls. But I am glad you mentioned that. I've been meaning to have a chat with you concerning the perimeter defense of the fort.
Captain?
Yes, sir. Move out.
Yes, now, Major.
By the way, sir.
I noticed last night a tattoo. It seemed to me it would make the slightest...
I wonder if I understood you correctly, Captain. We're to look up in the trees as well?
You understood me, Mr. Seibert. Up in the trees, up on rock ledges, up on cliffs.
The ladies climb, sir?
Climb or fly, I don't know. But you pick a spot no one can get to except maybe an eagle. They'll be there. Let's give him a hand.
It's an Indian, Captain.
Yeah, that poor devil.
Somebody stuffed a gag in his mouth and... What's all this he's caught in?
That, Mr. Seibert, is a butterfly net.
A but... Well, how on earth...
Here, give me a hand.
Yes, sir.
Let's get that kerchief out of his mouth.
Oh. No. No kill. No kill.
You're all right. We're not going to kill you. What are we caught on, Mr. Seibert?
It's a handle or something, sir. Trapped down this brush.
You let go. I run. I no come here again. You let go. White squaws. Crazy.
Yeah, I think you're right.
You! Young man! Down there! Don't set him free!
Captain, look where she is. Clear up at the top of the...
I told you, Mr. Seibert.
You better come down from there, Mrs. Quiring.
No, no, you not let her down here again. I run. White squaw full of bad spirits.
Oh, shut up.
Young man, do as I say. Leave the Indian as you found him. He bothers us.
Keep working, Mrs. Abbott. Let him go when you get him free. I'll go up and get the girls.
Young man, I hallooed you on two occasions about the Indian,
I heard you, Mrs. Quiring.
And you deliberately let him go after I told you he bothered us.
He won't bother you anymore. See down there, he's running like fire down.
They've flown, Aunt Winifred, but with all the commotion, who can blame them?
Indeed. First the Indian, and we silenced him. But now, look around down there, Gussie. Enough army to... Have you lost something important, Captain?
Ma'am, you got to understand a few things about the West, about Indians, about army garrisons.
Well, now, if that isn't what we're trying our level best to do, Captain Quince, and how better to do it than by going directly to nature, studying the birds of flight, the animals...
Miss Gussie.
Yes?
Miss Gussie, this is Indian country. You're not allowed to go directly to nature in Indian country, not if you're a white man.
Now that's plain silly.
It's a treaty, says so, Mrs. Quiring. Took a long time talking, negotiating, giving and taking. And finally, it was decided the Indians were the only ones with rights to this land.
The Indian didn't mean us any harm, did you think, Aunt Winifred?
Furthest thing from his mind. He was nosy, that's all. Gussie and I had stolen up on... Now, mind what I tell you, Captain. We'd stolen up on a bittern, a sharp-shinned hawk.
Aunt Winifred, your language.
I'm breaking it down for the Captain. Remember the problem we had earlier about what he called a grouse?
Oh, of course.
Ma'am, if you'll let me get a word in.
A bittern, a sharp-shinned hawk, a goshawk, a bald eagle, and a crow.
A crow, Aunt Winifred?
The Indian was a crow, wasn't he, Captain?
Yes, ma'am. He was a crow. And to use her words, Major, when the crow persisted in making so much noise, we did the only reasonable thing. That's when they dropped a butterfly net on him and gagged him with a kerchief.
Wait a minute, I've lost track. Is this crow a bird or a...
Indian.
Captain, the Army's been my life for 15 years. But this business with acquirings may bring it to an untimely conclusion. I'm about to write Washington, and if they send another party out here in the name of investigating anything, I'll resign.
How long the acquiring's going to be putting up here?
He hasn't said. But this is an order, Captain. From now on, I'm assigning you to a full-time watch on the three of them. We can't always be sending search parties out to find them.
There's no watching the three of them at one time. They got a way of pairing off or striking out alone.
Well, assign a man to each of them. But I want them accounted for at all times.
Hope we don't have any Indian uprisings before they leave. I couldn't spare the men to fight them.
Oh, no.
Yeah? That'd be Mrs. Quiry.
What on earth's she doing with Sergeant Gorse?
Talking to him, anyway. I'd have to get closer to find out what about.
You go ahead, Captain. I'm going over to the sutlers. I just remembered Mrs. Daggett's out of Hatpin.
Understand.
What's wrong, Sergeant? I don't rightly know, Captain. Something about the way I walk or don't walk or something. The lady, she...
You two haven't met formally?
Well, now
she
we
just,
haven't...
She just come on me talking.
Well, then, allow me. Ms. Quiring, this is Sergeant Gore.
Shake hands, Sergeant.
Yes, ma'am.
Now then, did you say Gore?
Yes, ma'am. That's my name, Gorse.
Wonderful! Oh, wonderful! Wait till I tell Gussie and Horace, a Quint and a Gorse on the same army post. Oh, I can't wait. This is too good to keep. You'll excuse me.
Yes, ma'am.
And don't forget, Sergeant. Toe out. Toe out.
She sure got a burr somewhere, ain't she?
Maybe.
You think I walk funny, Captain?
I'm beginning to think everyone's a little funny around here, one way or another.
My name. What's she going on about my name for?
Well, she knows what it means.
Well, what does it mean?
I don't know. Now, me, I got a couple of choices. They can't decide if I'm an Australian black ash or the pear-shaped fruit of the Pyrus Sedonia.
Captain... I'm going to go get me some beer.
See you practice on the way over, Sergeant. I don't forget. Toe out.
You just got to make up your mind to stay put, Mr. Choir. We can't come looking for you every now and then.
Well, I've never lost, you know. Never. I always know where I am. I have maps and charts.
Well, it's more that I don't know where you are.
Oh, then you're lost.
No, sir, I'm not. I'm
just... Oh, that's a different matter entirely. But don't worry, I'll get it back. I have maps and charts and things. Can't understand Winifred, though. That's my wife, Winifred.
Yes, sir.
It's not like her to steer me wrong this way. Usually, Winifred's word is her bond. She says something, it's true. But this time, she... By the way, I don't believe I caught your name, Sergeant.
My name's Gorse.
Oh, yes, Sergeant Gorse. Oh, that's a fine name. Imagine, you're quite proud of... Did you say Gorse?
I sure did.
Oh, my. Well, that's a good one. Well, now, the joke's on me, Sergeant.
It is, huh?
Yes. Winifred didn't steer me wrong at all. She said... Oh, my, this is rich. Yes, it is. It's rich. She was telling me about the Gorse, you see. And I was quite naturally excited about that.
Why?
Well, for a good reason, I assure you. You don't run into Gorse every day, you know.
Well, I don't, but... Now, look here, Mr. Choir.
And I quite naturally assumed that Winifred was referring to the common furs, or wind. And that's why I struck out to see it. Perhaps snip a sample or two.
I sure don't know what you're talking about. And your wife. I hear everything she says, and I don't know what she's talking about, neither.
Well, then as I rode out, I got to thinking. Perhaps Winifred wasn't referring to the common furs or wind at all. Yes, I said. Well, it's been years since I read her paper on the Gorse, but I remember the main points, all right. So, let me see now. There's the Gorse linnet, the Gorse chat, Gorse hatch, Gorse hatcher, and Gorse thatcher.
What are you talking about? All them Gorses?
Oh, my. Oh, now, say. Oh, shame on me. Well, I never remember to keep it simple for the layman. Will I never remember? Well, to begin at the beginning again. We're back now to the firs and the wind. That's very like juniper.
That last bunch with all them Gorses in front of it.
Birds. Songbirds, many of them.
You like birds. Is that what you're saying?
Do I like birds? Oh, my dear Gorse. Birds and I... Oh, I'm sorry, but a sergeant named Gorse... Well, Winifred will just have to do a paper on that.
Oh, we got a lot more interest in birds than that out here.
You do?
Oh, huh? Sure. What... You don't want to mess around with common old Gorses when you can come up on say, the Jayhawk.
Yes.
He flies backwards, you know.
Backwards?
Yeah. And there's the Mugwump.
Mugwump?
Mm-hmm.
Did you say Mugwump? My goodness, I thought they were extinct.
Oh, no. No, we got them all over out here. Then there's the three-footed firebird.
Three-footed?
Stands on one. Rubs his other two together, makes fires.
Gussie will be thrilled.
I just can't believe this. That's why I come up here, Captain. They're really leaving?
That's what they say. Pushing farther west. On the trail of a three-footed firebird.
I told them California, up high in the Sierra. Leastwise, the last covey I saw was there.
I understand Mrs. Quarian's going to give you full credit on her paper about them. You better count heads here. Here's Mr. Quarian talking to the major.
Well, I seen Mrs. Quarian not 2 minutes ago. She was helping the squad do some Indian beadwork.
Well, she isn't doing it now. Find her, Gorse.
Oh, now, she ain't run away again, Captain.
I want them all three on that stage, Sergeant.
Yes, sir.
Keep an eye out for Miss Gussie while you're at it, Sergeant.
Yes, sir.
Oh, Captain. Captain?
Yes, Mr. Quarian?
Well, now, I wouldn't want to miss shaking your hand in farewell, Captain. The stage is packed. I've said my goodbyes to the major. You lose something?
Your wife. And I don't see Miss Gussie either.
Well, now, let me see. Well, if I were Winifred, now, where would I go? I always begin that way, you see, and then I let my mind function as if it were Winifred's mind. The root house.
That's clear over behind the settlers.
That far? Well, when we go over...
What's she doing at the root house?
Oh, my, you didn't know? She found a small flowering gorse and thought it only fair.
Never mind.
Captain Quint!
What now?
It's Miss Gussie, Captain.
You see, Captain, we're all accounted for. There's no problem.
No, I'm afraid there is, sir. It seems Miss Gussie was demonstrating how quickly she... Well, they don't think it's too serious, but under the circumstances, they took her to the post hospital.
Hospital?
Yes. Under what circumstances, Mr. Seibert?
Burned hands, Captain. But the doctor says in a few days she'll be able to travel.
In a few days. Mr. Seibert, this is an order. For the next few days... No dry sticks for Miss Gussie. Now move out.
Fort Laramie is produced and directed by Norman McDonald and stars Raymond Burr as Lee Quince, Captain of Cavalry, with Vic Perrin as Sergeant Gorse.
Fort Laramie, on Tuned to Yesterday from July 29, 1956, on CBS. And that's it for this hour of Westerns on Tuned to Yesterday. Be sure to be with us next time for more great programs from radio's past. Until our next hour together, I'm Mark LeVonier. Thanks for tuning in.